something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
a brand new segment, Tech Talk.
We play some great instrumentals plus theme songs from television shows.
And we take a moment to say goodbye to a beloved member of the TNT universe. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, Bob.
So you were just saying it's a, what do you call it, a PD day?
A PA day? So it's like a, it's a Saturday, Friday.
You have a song in your house that you sing
on a Friday, Saturday. Or if it's like an extra long weekend, it's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday, Monday.
So you sing it to the tune of dee-da-dee-dum, da-doo-dee-dum, like a doorbell ring on Dynasty, like whatever that song is,
yeah,
right?
Family jams.
Dee-da-dee-dum, da-doo-dee-dee. We have family jams, too, so some of them have words like Friday, Saturday, and some of them are like, for some reason, there's one that goes... And if you're doing a boom be up
like
and weird it, weird it, someone will jump in with the horns.
What is that, like Mustang Sally or something?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Like what Sally is.
I guess so. I don't know why Mustang Sally would be on our family playlist. But yeah, it doesn't have a turnaround or anything. It's just. Boom ba da and weird it weird it boom be up. Boom be up and weird it boom da da da. And if you keep going, someone in the house will jump in with a boom be up and weird it boom be up.
Boom ba da.
Someone will hop on the harms.
I'll just crush
it. Boom be up and weird it boom be up and weird it boom da da da.
You go from just having a sandwich to like getting paid on stage as a backup.
Okay, well,
guy.
If you start boom me up and keep it going, and I'll jump in the way someone else would.
It might be out of time because we're on a phone call, but we can have a go at it.
Try it.
Boom ba da boom ding doom ba boom boom ba da boom bing doom ba boom boom ba da boom bing doom boom bing doom ba da.
I don't even know where it came from. There's also every morning when Carol and I walk in from the barn, I hit muffin time.
Oh man.
Every single morning.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't even rhyme.
Not at all. Imagine this, you saw the guy that wrote the closing time and you're like, muffin time.
Muffin time.
With like some lemon poppy seeds.
I remember Donovan Woods a couple years ago said that he, I think when he was changing his daughter or something, he's saying clothing time. That actually makes way more sense though. Muffin time. It isn't even like it's clever because it rhymes or, yeah.
There's not like. Bedtime, it's bedtime, it's on bed. This is like some big long song about bedtime that you have.
No, we don't, but here's our bedtime go-to these days. When I was a kid on PEI, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. My dad had a friend named Freddie Stuhr, who was a dentist, and he was from Scotland. And Freddie's wife was Helen, and they had two sons, Hamish and Andrew. And when they moved back to Scotland,
nice.
They left their cottage in our care, and they never came back. So we would go use their cottage as our own. Oh, I lost the accent there. We'd use their cottage as our own. And after a few years, they said, you might as well sell it. So for some reason... Freddie Stuhr was a very real person in my childhood. I can picture him plain as day. His wife, Helen, was kind of like Judy Jetson, like hair bands and like the A-shaped dresses.
That's classic.
So for some reason at bedtime, I've started telling stories about Freddie Stuhr. It's the Freddie Stuhr boy dentist mysteries. And all of the stories are about when Freddie Stewart was a kid, the mean things his dad did to him.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, Freddie That's Stewart scary. Sr. But it's cartoonish violence. Like, one morning, Freddie Stewart woke up, and he couldn't breathe, and he looked up, and his dad had his foot on his neck, and he said, Dad, move your foot, I can't breathe. And the dad was like, I can't hear you, Freddie, what are you saying? Move your foot, I can't breathe. What, Freddie? English spoken here. Dad, move your foot, I can't breathe. So he'd take his foot off his neck, and he'd say, what are you saying, Freddie? And he'd say, Dad, move your foot, I can't breathe, it's on my neck. And the dad would say, no, it isn't, and walk away. They all end with him getting, like, shards of glass in his throat, or his head lopped off by a piece of sheet metal, or Freddie Stewart wanted a poil for his birthday, so he got home from school, and he saw it back in the yard, there was a poil. And he went and ripped off his shirt on the run and dove into the poil, but it turned out he had painted a fake swimming pool in the backyard, and it was a concrete slab.
No.
It's like Roadrunner level cartoonish violence. But Freddie Stewart always gets like...
What is going on?
He gets like a hot pot of tea pointed in his crotch. Or Freddie Stewart's dad embarrasses him. Just the idea of Freddie Stewart child dentist mysteries. I don't know. It's like the Hardy Boys.
So it's just like he made them up?
Yeah. Well, I made them up.
As like... Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
I just used the name as a springboard.
Oh, nice. Just these horrifying... But that's from, like, real for a lot of...
For a lot of people.
A lot of people, like, the bad dad thing is, like...
It's maybe too real for some.
Well, you think? Stepping on somebody's neck.
Well, that's why going cartoonish, like he takes a lawnmower over his waist. Like, it's so over the top that it's ridiculous. Anyway, that's our bedtime routine. It's not a song. It's not the boom, ba-da, weird, weird. So, Indy's Scottish accent is coming along pretty good, and so is Shug's, and the girls will take turns saying, I've got a friend. Well, it always starts with when Freddie Stewart was four, or when on Freddie Stewart's 18th birthday. Yeah, so we take turns telling Freddie Stewart stories.
So they're like hearing the stepping on the neck stories?
Yeah, because it's so silly.
It's their version of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there's always like he lands in tar and then rolls around in feathers. Like,
instead of action movies, they're not like they don't watch like movies that are more adult. But you'll throw in some Freddie Stewart stories.
And it always starts like
some reality.
It always starts like really nice. Like, well, Freddie, I'll do that for your birthday. We can go see a volcano, and you know where it's going. They get to the edge of the volcano, and the dad nudges him by accident and says, well, you should know how to handle it. Falling into hot lava.
Yeah. So, but going back, that guy just split, never sent a word back.
Yeah, I think, in hindsight, the only reason my dad was friends with him is because my dad was British and Freddie was Scottish, and they were probably, you know, the only two first-generation people in Sherwood PEI.
And not to mention, like, the place was probably worth, like, $4,500.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't like...
At the time.
Oh, he left him the house.
Yeah, he didn't walk away from a mansion, but...
It's just a little over the cost of a driving lawnmower.
As I've said before, the cottage was 15 minutes from our house, and sometimes we'd get there on Friday night and have forgotten something, and my parents were like, we're not going back. Like, because everything on PEI is relative. When you live 5 minutes outside of town, to drive 15 minutes to the cottage is, like, insane. So it's just what you're used to.
Man, so yeah, so family jams. Those are some good ones. I like that.
Boom, yeah.
Times, classic.
We also have a family whistle. Do you guys?
I can't whistle, so there's no family whistling here.
So what do you do if you're in a Walmart or Target and you lose each other?
Well, you fire one of those big, like, in the war whistle thing. What? Like find one of those.
I can't put my fingers in my mouth and whistle. I can't do that one. But do
like some bird sounding
thing
that's like wakes the whole neighborhood up if you need it.
If the girls are four aisles over or I can see them in the distance and I go, they will freeze where they are and start looking around for me. Super handy to have in a public setting. Bird
call. See, I can't do that. I just yell.
Hey!
Like, John! Jack! My voice is pretty good.
It is good. It does cut through. Mine probably gets lost because it's like a car alarm.
No, because I would wager I'm the worst person in the world talking when you're trying to sleep. I know that for a fact. My brother has the same voice. And in terms of the way it cuts. And if I'm like in the other room, I'm like, I might as well just go in the room with them. It's so it just burns through.
Because it's like a ba-ba-ba-boy. Like it has that.
Yeah, it's got bottom and enough top, but it's mostly bottom for sure.
Mostly bottom. So when you're whispering, the drywall is still rattling.
Yeah, here's me whispering and it's still like I can feel it off the walls in here.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had that problem. So, Jer, I wanted to share with the buds that Bonnie, better known as Carol's Aunt Joyce, has left this world. And I can't even say it's sad news because of the way she did it. If you've never heard the pod before, she's my wife's Aunt Joyce. She was 94. And was quite a gal. She lived in L.A. by herself, like left her family in Nova Scotia and lived there in the 50s and 60s and worked in a law office and lived right downtown. Then she lived in Washington State for a while. She was in B.C. for a while, always on her own, always with dogs, always champion of the underdog, gave a lot to charities and animal shelters and things like that. There's a great story of this kid named Alex who was visiting his grandmother, he's about 14, next to Joyce's place in Santa Barbara. And Alex came over and asked to bum a dart. And Joyce was like, well, are you going to tell your parents? And he was like, no. So he'd come over and have some cigarettes with her from time to time when he was 14.
Oh my God, that's classic.
But she's just one of those people who was an advocate for those who couldn't be for themselves. So super old school in the way that she liked to dress up. She kind of had beautiful suits that were really tailored to her and like wrote nice thank you notes and had stationery with her name on it and had a thing from the desk of Joyce, like on her desk.
That's classic.
So as people that listen to the pod know, you know, she would have a small one before dinner, just to get her appetite up, some rye, and she loved to visit. And in seeing some of the stuff from her place, she took such care and pride in the things that she collected over the course of her lifetime, figurines and china and things like that. So in the last 18 months, she fell and fractured her hip. So she went to the hospital. And in the hospital, they performed surgery on her, which a lot of people her age wouldn't survive. She did. From lying on her back so much in the hospital bed, she got pneumonia, which she beat. They discovered cancer, which they gave her treatment for, and she overcame it and went home. And the crazy thing about her going home is every time we went to visit her in the hospital, she said some version of, man, whenever these jokers decide to let me out of this place, I just want to go home, feeling restless and whatever. And people kind of, you know, humored sounds jerky, but I think people thought in the back of their minds maybe she would never leave the hospital, but she really believed she would. And it was quite something to see her overcome all this stuff and actually get home just before Christmas this past year. You might recall Carol and the girls put up a little tree. So when she got back to her house with her little dog Paco, there would be a tree up for her. She mentioned at the time, this will be my last Christmas, and people were like, well, I don't know, you've survived all these things in the past year. It's hard to even imagine. So
she just probably understood her own fate better than anybody.
I think she did. And, you know, there were subtle changes in her over the last few months, as is often the case, losing weight, and her stamina wasn't what it once was. Stopped having a small one before dinner, like little signs like that. So on the day she decided she was ready to go to the hospital, she let the woman who was kind of her keeper or companion, nurse type, know that she was ready to call a hospital, call the ambulance. The ambulance came. She walked out to the ambulance.
Man.
In fact, the girls had been there earlier in the day. They did a little dance number for her. She clapped, told them how great it was, told Carol and the girls how nice they looked. So decides, all right, I'm ready, calls the ambulance, walks out to the ambulance, and then as the ambulance door is about to close, says, pull the drapes.
Come on.
And so her care worker was left to pull the drapes, which is so old school, but so kind of final. Just there's something about that phrase, pull the drapes, like I'm done here. She went to the hospital and she passed away that night.
Yeah, they don't call it curtains for nothing.
I know. Pretty powerful exit, though. And it was just very fitting because everything she did in her life, she did on her own terms. And imagine, like, being a young, single Canadian woman living in Los Angeles in the 50s by herself.
Just like, a solid, full-on, what a life. But just... And understanding it and going out with such clear vision is pretty inspiring.
Yeah, and she didn't want for anything. She didn't take a traditional path. She didn't do things that people suggested she should. She lived exactly how and where she wanted to. And what a great thing to be able to say at the end of your life. And then the one thing that she really didn't want to do is go live in, like, an assisted living facility. She really wanted to stay in her house. She did until the very day she died, which is pretty awesome. So the one thing that I will definitely remember about her is her cackle. She had this great big chortle, and she laughed easily and she laughed often, which I'm sure was part of the secret to her longevity. So I always kind of toyed with, as you know, Bonnie was something of a celebrity on the pod and such a, you know, such a rich character, you know. I always kind of toyed with the idea of, should I tell her? Because I want her to know that we paid this loving tribute to her, but I didn't want to insult her. And it turns out my mother-in-law had told her. She knew all about it, and she just kind of laughed and thought it was crazy. But I could never figure out, like, how far back do you have to go? Like, okay, so there's this thing called the internet, right? Like, how do you even explain what this is?
I think the best way would be to play just the Bonnie jam from the Bods album.
Right.
Because it's really a great spoken word piece that has her in mind.
It is.
She would probably really appreciate it, the whole deal there, because it's the presentation. It's very witty and smart.
And also born out of truth. She went to Bulk Barn and got nuts and fed the Blue Jays in her alcove.
Yeah. Oh, Jose is looking for the nuts, eh?
Yeah.
He knows things have changed.
Well, that's the thing. It's getting colder and no nuts in the alcove. But they've eaten them out of her hair. Just a friend to animals, which says a lot about her. And it's neat in seeing all the old pictures. There are dogs in almost all of them. Some were hers, some were other people's, but... she was just one of those people. So I am richer for having known her, for sure.
Bonnie. And obviously Joyce.
Yeah. 94.
Legend is an understatement.
That's why I can't even say I'm sad because she lived a long, wonderful life and exactly how she wanted to. So it's not sad so much as it is of note. And seeing someone go out on their own badass terms is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who can't see themselves incapacitated, they can't deal with it. That's like, it's a decision that's up to the person.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. There's some people who are like, I don't care what it takes. I want to stay alive. And that's a different path, you know?
Yes. But, and she wasn't ready before. But she was ready now, and that's quite something too. Like, think of all the things that she fought through to get
home. Exactly. Like all the achievements and accomplishments of fighting her health, and it's knowing when it's time is definitely. It's like I said before. It's really inspirational to see that when you see. Not just the way that she lived, but just the understanding of the finality of things, you know, and just knowing that you're good to go and it's time.
Well, she always had PNV, good old fashioned dose of piss and vinegar, and I'm convinced it was really cool to see her. Like, when she was in the hospital, people are like, okay, you're probably not going home. The fact that she did was solely, I believe, because she believed she would. And that's kind of, it was a place to channel her energy while she was in there. Anyway, RIP, Joyce. Bonnie will live on forever, fortunately. But I did want to share that with the buds because, you know, she's been a big part of this pod.
Yeah, no, it's very sad, but... thanks for paying tribute in a way.
Yeah.
That's nice stuff. I miss, speaking of dog lovers, Rebel's still not home. He's coming home soon now, this week.
So what's he been doing?
He's been hanging, running around, having a great time with his buddies, the other dogs and cats and stuff. And his puppies that are all... he had another litter of puppies.
Like, really?
Yeah, like I think it's 20 in all or 21 or something.
Good Lord.
Yeah, three good rips. Anyway, there's little Rebel puppies, and he's, for this first time, he's actually been there for them with Dolly, the mother, raising them in a sense while they're actually playing and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool.
I wonder in the dog world, what is the dad's role after the puppies are born? Like, is he all in there?
I think initially, and sometimes they're aggressive with the really young puppies.
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
It's hard to tell. But, I mean, what happened was there used to be a big Rottweiler, the leader of them all, named Conan, who was a beautiful big dog, and he just passed away. So that's very sad, because he was kind of the leader, and he's on a place where it's kind of a farm area, so it's very rural, and there's lots of, like, fields and brush and stuff. So at night when they go out to pee, Conan would kind of be there barking and nobody, and the coyotes wouldn't come around at all. But now that there's no big, Dolly's not that a big a dog and isn't going to do anything. And Rebel obviously is very, just runs around and thinks he wants to play. So one night letting them out to pee a few weeks ago, she heard Rebel shrieking. And she's like, oh my God, he's getting killed by a coyote. And all of a sudden, she sees him running up to her and comes to her feet. So it somehow got two bites, but the coyote didn't get him. Like, he's really fast. So he actually escaped death from this coyote. It bit him around the shoulder and on the back hind middle section twice, like two spots.
That's terrifying.
And, yeah.
Like broke the skin, like blood? Oh my God.
He had to get stitches, yeah. Yeah. So he's healing up. He's all good. He's fine now. And but yeah, that's scary. Rebel almost shut her down.
So that was not tied to the big dog. Like, it wasn't the same incident. The big dog didn't die protecting Rebel or anything. The big dog was gone.
The big dog was gone. Yeah, right. So now predators were coming onto the property, and that's it. Yeah.
Crazy. That's terrifying. Yeah, so
I know. It's awful. And it's not like he's not way far. They're just near Aurora. Like, it's not far.
Coyotes are greasy.
It's not out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, coyotes are awful because they come back and back. They'll come back 2-3 times. And they've been attacking kids around the city as well recently. I saw some stuff on the news.
I saw something on the news about that happening on Vancouver Island.
Yeah, little kids getting bitten. Like, multiple times. So that's scary stuff. Keep your eyes in your backyards, because they're out there, those coyotes. They're getting used to humans to the point of like, hey, we'll find some garbage here at least, for sure.
Can you imagine?
And attack anything small, they'll go after. So it's scary stuff.
Imagine a kid gets bitten by a coyote?
No, thanks. Like, what do you know? It's unbelievable to think that happening. You're just at a park or something, and this thing rips in. This greasy looking, their hair is always all banged up. It looks like they just came out of a lumber pile every time.
Yeah.
Like, why do they look so mangy and creepy looking?
They're so banged up. They're the Jeff Martins yeah, of the animal world.
Like, it looks like they cut their hair with like little pieces of dynamite or cherry bombs around their body. Like, what kind of a look is that? And why do they look so greasy?
They're so mangy.
Yeah, they are.
What did we see on tour? Was it in Alberta? Saskatchewan?
No, I think it might have been some coyotes. Because you don't normally see wolves running by the roads.
This man was sitting in the ditch making eye contact with me as we drove by. Like, yeah, that's right. You are seeing me. Do coyotes travel in packs? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, well, they're always howling in groups.
Right.
So I don't know, they probably do, and they try to attract other dogs and animals to them. Like, I know coyotes will go and play dead to have a dog run out to see if it's
no.
Like, what's going on. Yeah, it'll act like vulnerable and hurt, and a dog will come, and then boom, all the other ones will crush it.
That's actually, like, genius.
Well, they know. Just like ducks and geese, they'll kill your dog by going out to the middle of the lake and just going out of the way to let your animal drown.
Not because they want to eat it. Why do they do that?
Well, if a dog is trying to get a goose, they'll be like, come on out, and they'll rip out to the middle and just like burl around or leave.
I got you close.
Dog won't be able to get back to shore.
You're almost there, bud. Keep coming.
A little dog that's not a strong swimmer, it's just gonna sink.
The breeder, when we got Happy, said French bulldogs love the water, they love to swim, but they're not buoyant. So you have to be really careful near bodies of water. You have to get them a life jacket.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
They love it, but they can't swim.
They're just not good at it. They're kind of top heavy and thick.
Yeah, well, those are the dogs, like, they actually fall forward. Like, they fall. Like, it's so weird.
Well, she does handstands. Like, when she's drinking, her back paws are off the ground.
Yeah, and could easily topple into the food or whatever dish.
Happy.
Does it snore?
Well, it has this like rattle when she wants your attention, like a. It doesn't like that. That's just when she's in her kennel and wants out.
It doesn't. That's not a bark. It's like a whine. Like a big inhale scream.
Well, yeah, but it actually rattles. It is an inhale scream.
He's like utilizing some new technique.
It is like a baby crying. Hey, before we take a break, I want to give a shout out to Nell and Mike, who were at, I have it right here in front of me. They were at, wait for it. They were at St. Jacob's Market and found something that they thought I would enjoy. And so she sent it to me. It's a Maclean's magazine from the 60s with Gordon Lightfoot on the cover. And it's like an article like, this newcomer, youngster Gordon Lightfoot may really be something someday, cats and kittens.
Oh, wicked. That's
just
a good one.
Turbo bodism, like, I spotted a thing, I thought of you, how can I get it to you? Like, such a kind thing to do. I really appreciate it.
I want to thank Ricky Schmidt for sending me a warming, housewarming gift.
Oh, did she?
Thanks for that. Very thoughtful stuff.
See,
for everybody.
That Ricky Schmidt, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. I'm going to tell good you thoughts. What. She's a good bod.
And Mike the Bod has been crushing it with us on all things tech.
Don't even get me started on Mike the Bod.
Yeah, he's just... I can't wait to be actually out there again doing stuff. And having Mike and all these buds with us.
Yes. So,
for sure. Definitely. Anyway, good times. Let's take a break.
Take a break, bud.
Okay, you ready? Hold on. What time is it?
It's time for Tech Talk. You know what Tech Talk is?
Well, because William Shatner went into space. So it's high tech talk.
So I'm going to give you an object, and you have to say what year the first one appeared.
All right.
I kind of want to keep this song going as a bed under the whole thing.
I'm going to. I'll just turn it down enough so it's not loud.
This was Herbie Hancock Rocket from... Was this from a movie?
No, it's just a jammy.
It wasn't from Beverly Hills Cop or something?
From his album Future Shock in 1983.
Oh, perfect.
No.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
What year was the first Sony Walkman?
I'm going to say 1981.
So close. 1979.
What? Oh, yeah. It's a little earlier than that.
What year... was the Osborne 1 considered to be the first true mobile computer by most historians? In fact, we would call it a laptop today. What year was the first laptop?
You mean like the first mobile computer?
Well, the Osborne 1, invented by Adam Osborne, was considered the first truly mobile computer. So the first laptop.
I'm gonna guess it's going with the war effort, like 1960s, maybe?
Wow, 68? Interesting. No, that was 1981.
Oh, wow, okay. I always figure, because what the internet's like started because of the military, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would that have been that early? Maybe it was.
I think they had some kind of communication on that. I don't know.
Let's find out.
Didn't start Berlin until the 70s.
January 1st, 1983 is considered the first official birthday of the internet.
Oh, really? So that's it. I'm way off.
Okay, you ready?
Let's go to the next.
First.
Hold on. Let's get a little more of this jam going.
First cordless phone.
First cordless phone. That's got to be like 1982.
Oh,
maybe way earlier.
Super close. I know you're going to nail one. It was 1980.
Okay.
Really
I
close.
I just think Michael Douglas in Wall Street. Remember that one on the beach?
Like huge brick phone?
I remember the first time we were on tour, Kevin Meekle, our tour manager, had one of those. And this was like 1994 or 93. And I was like, that's archaic back then to me. But he's like, man, this thing works everywhere. You could use this thing anywhere. That sounded like your home phone, man.
And
those things were
like
insane.
$2.75 a minute.
And they well, it was the same price as any other phone, but they lasted forever too. Like the battery. So yeah, remember the old Motorola Big Bangers, man? Those things were like military grade.
Remember when planes started to have phones? So it'd be in this like the headrest in front of you. Yeah,
you pop it out, and I remember calling home a couple times, and yeah, it's like $5 a minute.
Yeah, guess where I am? I can't hear you. Guess where I am? I can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, first VCR to use VHS was the Victor HR3300 and was introduced by the president of JVC in Japan on September 9th of what year? The first VCR.
Hold on, it's like thinking music. I'm gonna say 1981.
76.
Damn it. God damn it. So yeah, because the big sexy pad, like the apartment guy, the Leisure Suit Larry dude, would have a VCR going on in the late 70s.
Okay, this one is more along the lines of your wartime thinking. First car phone. Motorola communications equipment carried the first calls on Illinois Bell Telephone Company's new car radio telephone service in Chicago on October 2nd, my birthday, of what year?
I'm thinking like Elvis would be calling people from the phone, from the car, like that's the vibes.
Peanut butter and banana.
So, like, not in 1975, 1974?
Well, can I get a peanut butter and banana? 1946.
Holy moly, the big... Man!
I know.
That's crazy. Yeah, because the Second World War, they had it going on.
Hey, Jer.
What? What?
A peanut butter and banana?
Fry it, please. Fry it twice. Remember, you like it fried. Peanut butter, banana, and fried.
Wait, peanut butter, banana, and fries? Or fried peanut butter and banana?
Fried. Fry it. Yeah, get that thing on the griddle.
I kind of want to try that. It sounds incredible.
Oh, man, it's dirty. Yeah.
Dirtier than a coyote.
Peanut butter, banana, fried with butter. Look out, man.
Jeez.
That will send you dying on the toilet.
What finally got him?
Shitting his life away on the can. He had a jammer.
Did he?
Yeah, he was living a life of excess with not just the food like that, but painkillers. And
oh, yeah, right.
We're just like eating them from the inside.
He also really liked the company of women, didn't he?
He was busy. I don't know if it was like that in the later years, but he like I heard from a guy who used to work for him as a security guy, saying I just can't turn a new one down, he said. Like he was going on the, I'm just being nice.
Aww.
Somebody really wants it, then they can have a piece of me.
Wouldn't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
Elvis's exploit set to rocket by Herbie Hancock is a strange aesthetic, but I'm into it. Okay, last one.
Okay.
RCA TVs, get the color for money. RCA CT100 was the first color TV set for consumers, offering low quality at a high price. What year did the color TV come out? I like you're going to take the entire scratch break to think about it. Come on.
Come on, he's crushing it. He goes back to the head. That's awesome. 1959. That's totally wrong.
Super
right?
Close. 54.
Oh, really? Okay.
Super close. And that concludes this edition of Tech Talk. I like that the theme for Tech Talk goes that long.
Oh man, I love it. I'm just gonna like...
Hancock versus Taggart and Torrance. Sorry. Like, gentlemen, you wanted to use my song as a theme for some piece of shtick you're doing, that's fine. But you also sat in silence while the jam went on for 4 straight minutes. Like, but Herbie, we were enjoying it. Doesn't that count for anything?
I love it. All right, okay.
You can't bring yourself to turn it off, and I can't blame you.
I let it play out, man.
How long is Rocket?
Like 5 minutes.
It's so great.
5.5 minutes. Oh man, that was great.
What other, this is actually a good category for us. What other instrumental songs are that captivating? I know we were talking about the Surfaris one-hit wonder Wipeout. But does that, I think we had the conversation when it came up, does that technically count as an instrumental if they yell Wipeout or if they yell Tequila?
Yeah, like, so this would be considered full on. Well, I mean, Herbie Hancock's storied career as a jazz musician on his own has made so many incredible records and played with so many incredible people, the best on the planet. So it just kind of was like an afterthought, the fact that like this in a somehow was a song that most people know, but that not a lot of people, in terms of understanding of mainstream music, would be listening to Herbie Hancock's other records. So it's just interesting. Kind of got thrown into the highway of pop for a second, and then, but at least I'm sure it shined a light on his other stuff by a million.
So do you think he was like, all right, I'll throw my hat in the pop ring for a cup of coffee during the 80s just because he could?
Well, if you listen to it, it's actually kind of like a jazz song, because he's like allowing people to solo over forms in the same regard. It just kind of comes back and forth with that dun 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 being the full head. But like the scratch guy was ripping it, like trying to just give it. It's no difference than a piano solo, or you know, Tony Williams playing with him, or you know, Freddie Hubbard or whatever, you know, like any other musician just letting it rip.
Classical Gas. I'm just looking up instrumental songs. I love Classical Gas. Can you fire that one up?
Classical Gas?
Yeah, you would know that song because it's like CTV, late night. There's a montage of like leaves floating down a river when they say like, good night, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Back when they used to like turn off the TV.
Mason Williams?
Yeah. Do you know it?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Wait till she starts ripping.
I thought you were thinking about that piano jam that would come on at CBC late at night. Different.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the programming day for CTV. See you tomorrow, bright and early, at 7 a.m. It'd be like a montage of leaves in a river, like some mountains. Maybe a beaver a thing.
It's such a weird song to be using for that.
I don't know.
Think about it. I mean, it's tattooed in our minds. But still, it's pretty like kind of mellow and kind of dark.
Is it Canadian? I wonder why they use that.
It has to be.
Oh, here we go.
Well, what's the point? Maybe not. It doesn't... Let's check.
Dun, bum, bum, bum. Okay, I have 2 more instrumental songs for you.
American. Oh man, it really goes off there into
That's still classical gas?
Yeah.
Those horns? Those
movements.
Speaking of Beverly Hills Cop, I think I was confusing Rocket with Axel F. Fire up Axel F. That's a solid instrumental song.
Oh, well, Axel F is from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. So I have two more instrumental songs. That's one, Axel F. True instrumental, because I don't think anything is ever said. Right?
Yeah, this is like some like European dude with white pants.
Yeah.
On a keyboard.
By the way, great song for like Eddie Murphy's getting out of the car. He's walking into the warehouse, like sneaking around, like to see if the bad guy's in there or spotting them from a distance.
Yeah.
Like this is a great montage song.
But this would never happen. This part didn't happen much when he, maybe in the beginning, like with the credits or something.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think you'd hear this part. It would all just be this part here.
Right. I love this part.
Or maybe not even this part. It was always the part before the last part. The back into the breakdown verse is when he's like getting into the car.
Here comes the chorus, so wait for it.
No, this is the breakdown.
Oh, it's the breakdown. Chorus is coming to bite you hard, though.
No, this is the part when he's like, check the banana in the tailpipe.
This is the like, get down, what?
No, this is like him going underneath, like through the back.
He's putting a tracking device on the bottom of a Cordoba. Such a banger. Okay, here's the other song I would like to submit for the
Tech Jam?
Yeah, it's not even a Tech Jam, but it is arguably one of the most famous instrumental songs ever. I submit Music Box Dancer. Cue that up.
Oh, see, that's the one with the piano.
Yeah.
That was always on CBC.
Oh, yeah, well, that one's Canadian. That makes sense.
Yeah. Who rocked that?
Frank Mills, wasn't it?
Frank Mills, you know it. Have you ever met him at like a party at CBC at Christmas or something?
No. You want the answer to be yes. There.
He's there like every time. Just crushing this. With Ernie Coombs, with the eggnog.
That concludes the programming day on CBC. From coast to coast to coast.
You imagine those CBC Christmas parties with all those maps in the room.
But can you imagine getting hired to play drums with Frank Mills out on tour?
I'd crush it. I'm already there.
Boom, ba da, dweer,
he's riding it out. The drummer's doing this. He's jamming. He's riding it out already.
Frank keeps telling you to play quieter.
Well, I'm surprised he let the drummer rip it like that with the ride.
I know, but it gives it pace.
I think he likes that. He wants that pace. So I like Frank. He's like, bring all the extra notes you can throw in there.
Is this a banger? I feel like it is.
This is not a banger. Like, this is not a banger.
But if you're calling...
It's Well, I mean, I don't feel like banger to me is a different kind of music in a sense. Doesn't like this is a powerful song. I'll give it that.
Memorable.
Powerful in memory.
It's kind of like nostalgia.
This is not something I would fire up like at the house.
What if you're driving and it comes on AM radio? Nice fall day.
I might listen to it so I can remember, like, you know. Because whenever I heard this, like, it's the only channel that was on. But most of the stuff that was on it, I didn't really watch. Like, in terms of, especially later at night, because you're a kid, you don't watch the news, you don't watch David Suzuki. You know what I'm talking about? When you're in that, when this era, you're a young kid, you're just trying to stay up late. just to be awake, but you'll watch these shows that you didn't really want to watch, even though you learned a lot watching them. But as a kid, you were just like, you know, wanting Littlest Hobo to come on, or, you know, fire up some
right.
Walk with Jan. This is a good jam.
Instrumental?
Full-on instrumental jam.
Oh, wow. What the?
Talk about insane band.
What the clam is this?
Sanford and Son theme.
Okay, well, if we're getting into TV show themes...
No, but this was such a great song that it was released, I'm pretty sure.
Was it? But
it's Quincy Jones. So it's full on, like, it's insane, this ensemble of...
Well, that's a great category, too. Songs that were so good, they crossed over.
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I don't know what came first. I think this was before the show. Maybe it's not, though. The Street Beater is the name of the jam.
Well,
no, I think it is. It's always that.
I'm going to say one of the biggest...
It never says anything other than...
One of the biggest TV show themes that became a pop hit must have been Greatest American Hero, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, like, if you're talking about ones with no lyrics or no singing, yeah. But there was... Like, Welcome Back was a single from...
Welcome Back.
That's a great song by John
welcome
Sebastian.
Welcome Back, Welcome Back, Welcome Back. I think if we're going to talk about TV themes, we should not limit it to instrumental ones. We should... Let's say the category is
open
the, great just, TV just themes it. That became pop hits.
Okay, for sure. Okay.
Welcome Back. That's a great song.
It's classic. I'm getting everything but John Sebastian on here for playback. My typing skills isn't quite as good as yours.
TV songs that became hits. I love this. Of course. Thanks, internet.
Here we go. It's actually a great record.
Welcome back. Yeah. Dunk a dunk, dunk a dunk. Since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who would have thought they'd need you? Ba ba da ba da ba. Ba da ba da da.
My parents had this album.
Did they?
Yeah.
Welcome back.
It's a great record. John Sebastian, we've talked about him on the pod before of having like a sneaky. Like just hit, you know, the Love and Spoonful stuff, and just like him, he had a huge long career of like amazing songs. You're like, oh, that's him. Oh, that's him. He's one of those guys.
What was
good stuff?
I'm back to instrumentals just for a second. What was ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding? What TV show was that?
I don't know. I thought it was Rawhide, but I think that's Rolling, Rolling, Rolling. So here's the list of the top 8 best theme songs ever, and I'd actually be interested in what the buds think is the best TV theme. Let's let us know hashtag best TV theme. So on this list, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, obviously that's a great song. Cheers, great song. Golden Girls, Gilligan's Island, Jeffersons, Moving On Up.
Good Times, remember that one? That was a good one.
It's a good one too. It's great.
Here it comes. Like insane bands, always like the best musicians. I love it.
I love it too.
And then obviously the classic of
yes.
all time. Listen to the drumming. Hold on, listen to him go off here. Like seriously, you can't get away with that. Drummer's just going crazy. Like just fired a bunch of gack before this session.
Don't you think? Do you think anyone was like, honestly, man, just take a log off?
He doesn't stop. There's no chip. Like if there's a gap, he's going. Listen, he's like, oh, now I get to go off. Holy shit. Listen. You can't play one bar without adding something.
Like, you're not getting paid by the note.
Oh, he's playing for the solo here. Oh no, he's still, man, he's just crazy. It's,
what is awful. This part of the song? Is that the credit bed? Why is it still going?
I don't even think that was the real version, but the original is still like that. That's way worse, though.
What is the TV theme song that you hear that rings your nostalgia bell the most?
What?
What's the TV theme song that you hear that rings your nostalgia bell the most?
Oh, let's see if this is on here.
Like instant, like, aw, remember?
Well, like, remember that show Quincy?
Yeah.
Remember that theme of that? But I can't find it.
I remember the show. I can't remember the theme.
Remember Quincy? Like that, something like that. Like that theme, because those are like, that's early, early. Like that's probably late 70s.
Oh, I'll tell you the one that could suck the tears out of my face.
It didn't make me
Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, fire really? That up. Just hearing that. Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, no. Hang on. Hill Street Blues. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, for sure.
Hill Street Blues.
That was on.
The little bit like of walkie chatter off the top.
Wasn't that on? Wasn't that on? Like, that's another ripping band for sure.
Oh.
Featuring Larry Carlton, right? He's like played with Steely Dan.
Yeah. Aw, oh, come on.
Listen to that drum track. Just crushing it.
I love that you hear every song as a drum track.
Well, just listen to everything. The piano, everything's mint. The bass, like, too. Like, you can focus. And who's that with the duah? That's that Larry Carlton on the guitar, just letting her rip.
It's so tasteful.
Listen to the bass. Doo-doo.
So good. Let's leave it there, bud.
Yeah, let's leave it there, bud.
Good chat, bud.
Good chat. Oh, that's the solo. Oh.